It's not the city email.
I turned on this recording. Tyler, that note's for you.
Turn it off.
And you have the good parts. I'll send Lisa that.
Well, I must say there was quite a bit of activity on site today. Cement trucks, pumper trucks.
High school kids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had a lot going on today.
So the
catering, was
that for the high school from them, or who was doing the catering today?
No catering today.
Oh, yeah.
We have a wedding this evening.
Oh, the room was full this afternoon, and they had catering.
Yeah, they had a luncheon.
Oh, a luncheon.
It wasn't any golf tournaments, but they had a luncheon and a wedding today.
Oh, okay.
Ready to start? Soon, well, I guess we need to make sure there's.
It's 5 o'clock, so we can
Lisa will
call the meeting
us.
To order.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give a minute for Lisa to.
We haven't seen Court, have we, up there?
Oh, it's Lisa. I'll need to. Let them in the room or not. It should be open to where they can just join, but maybe we'll give her just a minute. I had no correct. Well, I will wait.
Actually, Tyler has been up since 4:30 this morning, 5 o'clock this morning.
What'd you do, go fishing?
He wished.
Pulling golf carts out.
No?
Yeah.
Getting ready.
Well, I don't think you have to wait for Lisa if she's going to be available.
I was going to say, if you're really in a pinch for that, just give me a call. I'm only a block away, you know.
I
can drive it to golf court.
It's just a short agenda today, so.
All right. Well, we'll call the meeting to order. And has everybody read the minutes dutifully? Are there any comments or changes on the minutes from last month?
No.
They looked good. I'd recommend we adopt them as written.
I second it.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Miss. Okay. So.
So we'll kind of fly through some of this today. Well, we don't. We'll block the bottom ones. So, oops. Let me go back here. So I took a survey of every golf course within, every public golf course within about a 75-mile radius of Eaglewood. I kind of stopped North Ogden. So I didn't go up to Eagle Mountain and some of those in Logan, but this is a calculation of their Google review ratings and then the amount of reviews that each golf course has. So Wasatch State Park up in Midway is the highest public golf course that I could find in the state of Utah, 4.8, and then we're just right behind them, just in line with Hobble Creek, which is another, I think, notable public golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of maybe Park City, that's really nice. And obviously Park City Golf Course up there as well. The ones highlighted in yellow are our local competitors, so just wanted to draw attention to them as well. So Davis County has really nice golf courses, which is good and bad for us because we have a lot of really good competition, but I think it also brings people up here to play the variety of golf courses. So we clearly have a good amount of reviews compared to other golf courses, which we like. That kind of helps. Obviously, if you have a lot of reviews and they're all negative, your score is still lower, but that, the really good reviews we have a lot of helps bring that number up. So
yeah, Wasatch has a very low number of reviews.
Yeah, which they're probably okay with if they're 4.8.
Right.
I think there's some value to having number of reviews, too. I mean, if you look at restaurants, I mean, obviously some of them are anywhere from, I think there's even a 90 down here with what used to be East Bay, Homestead 50. I think there's a value to having a lot of reviews because that shows that a lot of people are coming to your golf course. Not necessarily just the rating, but also having those amount of reviews, I think, shows people are interested and want to come there. I mean, when I look at restaurants to go to, if there's 2 5-star restaurants and one has 10 reviews and one has 1,000, I'm probably going to go to the one that has 1,000. So.
Yeah, the only good news is the reviews are probably done by younger people, which means more long-term patrons.
Yeah. And I mean, like I mentioned last meeting, I've been pleased with us not only staying kind of where we're at, but we've gone up. We were at 4.6, we're kind of on the 4.6, 4.7 bubble there for a while, and with construction, with the cafe, and with now Top taking cash, I was really nervous on how that would be reflected on our Google reviews. And we've had a few. Most of the negative ones have been, you know, there's no food, no cafe, you know, cart girl's not out. A few have been, you know, driving range, or that driving range, the new tee boxes that we've had that we hadn't mowed yet. But the majority of them have been food related, even construction related. So,
has anyone been critical at all about the condition of the course? Which I think is good, but
We've had a couple that have made comments that the greens vary by speed. A lot of that could be just they're hitting uphill putts and downhill.
They're not consistent, you mean?
Yeah. Part of it too could be we use two different mowers on the front and the back, and there could be some alignment issues. But the Weston and the staff are pretty good at checking those every week, so it could have been an off day.
It shouldn't be.
Yeah, the greens were phenomenal this morning on the back nine.
Good.
I got two birdies. I might be why.
No wonder you liked the condition.
I liked the condition. I chipped them in. I mean, what can I say? But no, really, the greens and the fairways are really in good shape, considering what we've had to go through. The only problem we've had, that last rainstorm washed a lot of gravel onto the cart paths, and that is a bit of a problem on 12 and 13,
so
especially.
And I should have put that one in there because that was on my notes today, but 12 becomes, when we have lots of rain, it becomes a pond. They're kind of in that lower section, so all that gravel came, what was surrounding the storm drain, just washed up on
the
cart path,
washed out,
but
yeah. And we didn't have a shovel, so we didn't help this morning. But,
does the city clean that up, mitigate it, or is it up to the golf course?
To them.
Yeah.
Because it did come from the storm drain, which is not on the golf course, right?
Though there's storm drains, manhole covers that do run through the golf course, so that it basically when it gets too much volume, those manholes,
it
kind of releases the pressure from those holes, so the water continues to go out.
But I don't know if we have storm drain from streets going through the golf course. I guess I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, the one from 18, well, behind 18 goes down through 18 all the way down to 12,
uh-huh.
and then down to Gary Way.
Yeah.
And that one,
that one
washed too. 18 did.
Yeah.
We've got gravel
to look
on
at that. Let's see.
The right side of the bunkers, but, you know. It's my job. I have to go out and inspect and make sure that
it is your job.
My comment on that is there a plan for remediation? Because I notice it's undermining the asphalt in a number of places. You know, it's washing the gravel out, and then putting a hole under, and that asphalt, of course, is going to just break off.
Yeah, it's eroding the road base out from underneath the asphalt, and then the asphalt collapses.
Yeah, 12 is
the worst.
It's the worst one, and we just replaced it, which is frustrating.
Yeah.
We may have to look at how that is, what's going around the manhole. Maybe we put concrete so it's not washing out road base.
Since it's just washed out because of weather, is that something that insurance would cover?
I think our deductible would be well over
what it would cost
to replace or repair.
Is there any budget to, you know, for example, put a little bit of concrete curbing in or something where it's real thin?
Yeah, we've talked about adding, you know, we have some on 3. There's a lot of areas along cart paths that we need to repair. That's on our list of things to do. So maybe we can look at those areas, adding curbing while we're repairing.
Yeah, because unfortunately, I mean,
15.
The prediction for the weather is not getting any better. We're going to continue to have these heavy storms come down like this.
Yeah.
So we're going to continue to have damage. So if we can do something to, especially in the worst places, to stop it, you know. Otherwise, it ends up being a big cost to replace the whole cart path again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point. I'll look at 12. I'll have Weston give his recommendation on there, too. Maybe we can divert water elsewhere, I'll talk to Karen as well.
Is the water coming up through the manhole then?
Yeah, it blew that.
Yeah, it's blowing the covers right off.
Yeah, let me see if I can pull
up. You should have seen Eagle Ridge Saturday night.
Eagle Ridge and Eaglewood Drive were both like geysers with the manhole covers 5 or 6 feet above the water. I mean, it was crazy.
It was interesting driving.
I was in town Saturday night. Every time it rains, I get upset.
Yeah, it was like a slalom course in your car. You had to kind of slalom around.
Yeah.
So there's storm drains along here that overflow, and I want to say it's even out of this pond. There's overflow here. There's a manhole here on number 18. There's a manhole. Might be the only one, and then the big one is down here, kind of at the bottom of the hill. It might not show up very good. Yeah, it's right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that's drainage for the course.
That's a storm drain coming through the course.
Yeah.
So this is all a low area.
And that's where the damage is, right? In that low
But the
spot.
Storm drains don't dump into the big lake on 8 and 9. You know, the one between 9 and 10. The storm drain doesn't dump in there, does it?
Not yet.
No.
We're working on that.
We're working on a plan to make it bigger and use it that way.
Yeah, just as a side note, you know, the entire Murray Parkway golf course was built on a floodplain, and they got federal money just for that reason. So in the event of a flood, it would feed into all of their ponds. But it basically built 80% of the course with federal money. But it's right next to I-215, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of golf courses also serve as floodplain capture basins.
So, and we, speaking to what Ken just mentioned on this, there's a need for storm drain engineering to run storm drain lines that are right now running over here to the Snack Shack and then down Gary Way, and kind of causing the same issue we have on the golf course down on Gary Way. So they've had engineering firm look at running storm drain here into the pond, and nothing is official. We haven't seen any bids. This is just preliminary.
We're just looking at concepts.
Feasibility
talking
of it.
Time.
But expanding the pond, and I'll kind of draw so you can see it. Wish I had something I could mark it off. But bringing the pond more out and over, and in front of number 8. For a few reasons. One, it brings the cost of running storm drain closer. It lessens the impact on the golf course. You know, we have a couple that we're talking about bringing them right along the tee boxes down Cart Pass, so we lessen expense and interruption on golf, and that would also increase the volume of the lake for all the secondary users we're adding, and really just having more volume that we can use in there, as well as dump into. So. You know, the storm drain water that does, when this overfills, it goes over into this pond, and when this overfills, it goes out over into the storm drain. So it allows us to keep more water here without it going out, as well as keep, you know, water's going to seep through this lake, so it keeps more of the groundwater here rather than sending it down.
Great for drought conditions, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of moving parts, and Karen's been the champion for me on this, so she's working with Bowen Collins and getting a price to figure out even if it's feasible
to do it.
Would also add yet more trouble to hole number 8.
Yes. Yeah.
If
it might turn number 8 into almost an island green, which would be actually an attraction.
Mm-hmm. We're kind of looking at a little land bridge here. It's pretty wide. I mean, it's 30 feet. I call it a bridge, but it's pretty wide still. But at least from play wise, you would have water front, water back, water on this side. So.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a neat fixture.
Yeah.
Could be the only island green in Utah.
Doesn't Jeremy ranch it?
That's kind of sad because there goes my birdie. You turn that into an island.
Hey, I've got a hole in that one. I like it. So,
I'll kind of try to move this out of the way so we
can make that smaller if you drag the corner.
So I kind of pulled up some of our search numbers, our search engine optimization, some of our advertising numbers through March, and then there's some others that towards the end here that will be just 30 days. So this shows you March, April, May, June, July, and then obviously a week into August. These are how many people are actually clicking on our business profile. So if someone's searching for golf courses near me, or even Eaglewood, or Salt Lake Golf, if they're clicking on our business interaction, that's what that number is. So that's from March to August, so about 34,000 people clicking on that. Now this isn't just, you know, if somebody's typing in eaglewoodgolf.com, that's not included in there. So if they're searching directly for our website, that number's not in there. These are website clicks, so people go to our business profile, then they're clicking website. So that 20,000 number, which is still pretty good. Here is a number, I believe these are from March as well. So 100, you know, you go back to here, 34,000 people are clicking on it, 101,000 people actually saw it on their screen, so it's tracking how many people see it. And then this is, so people, this kind of shows you the search. So people are searching for Eaglewood Golf Course, they're searching for a golf course or address, just golf course near me, golf courses near me. There's a big long list, so it kind of drops from there. But you can see that 18,000 here, the bulk of people searching for our business profile search by our name, you know, 24,000 of the 58, and then it goes down from there. So it's kind of just, I mean, I could have thrown up 3 hours worth of spreadsheets and data and stuff, but I thought these were kind of the key points for you to see how many people are searching, how many people are going to website, how many are people are clicking on our business profile, and how many people are actually going to our website. This gets a little bit more in depth on our ads. I just put in the last 30 days. So I have 3 Google ads on there. I didn't put any Facebook ads or Instagram ads on there right now because those ones, we haven't run much in July or August. We'll start picking those back up probably once we start simulator sales. We'll do some of those. So we have 3 ads going right now, one for the event center. One is just kind of a general golf course ad, and then we have one promoting our afternoon special we do on the weekends. So the blue line here shows you how many people are clicking on those ads. So the ads will show on the page. There's 55,000 actual views. So people, if someone's searching for the Ridge Golf Course and our ad is at the top, they may not necessarily click on it, but that will be counted as an impression. So they'll see it, they don't necessarily click on it.
And that's all through Google, right?
Yeah, this is all Google. So then we're getting 1,000 people out of those 55,000 people clicking those ads. So right now it costs us 87 cents per click. So if they're clicking on our website, basically costs 87 cents. And then this is what we spent for last month. So a little under $1,000.
That's pretty good advertising.
Yeah, so, and we'll get into some of this, they call CTR and CPC stuff that kind of calculates what your percentage of return is. So, click-through rate is basically amount of clicks per dollar, and then the percentage, so if we have...
What does click-through rate mean?
So if they're clicking on our average, it's basically a cost per ad. That's cost per click
for somebody
so
to
click through
see
rate
your ad.
Is someone actually going to our website and then furthering that. So if they click on the ad and then tee times, or ad and then event center, and ad, you know, simulators, ad, then something else on our page. So that's kind of calculating that percentage. The one that I really look at is cost per click, because I want to know how many clicks we're getting and how much money we're spending per click. I like the golf course ones. The event center ones I think are great. I figure if I can get one event per month, you know, the $400 I spend here, then it's worth all of the advertising we have through it. But the golf course ones, I think I've got on the next page. I didn't include that one. They have a conversion tracker on Google that I can see kind of with this click-through rate, cost per click, I can see where people go after they get to our website. So what tabs they're clicking on, basically. The majority of them are going to tee times, which is good because of their booking. We don't have the ability right now with Lightspeed to be able to track their completion rate. So if somebody clicks on tee times, I don't necessarily know if they're booking a tee time, but I'm working on getting that set up with LightSpeed. So, but our they say in between 2 and 5% is ideal for the click through rate. So we're right there with the golf, a little bit low in Event Center, which is probably reasonable because that's a smaller market that people are looking for events.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And we show up in a little bit more of a broader. It's a niche market, but it's also advertises a broad market. So,
right.
You know, if somebody's searching specifically for weddings, that's small, but we're advertising to all types of events. So, if that makes any sense. I must not have saved it before I loaded it on here, but I put our Facebook followers, our Instagram followers, kind of where we've started 2 years ago and now where we're at. Around the $1,200 to $1,300 range, or $1,200 to $1,300 range for followers and likes, both on Instagram and Facebook. We started about 200 to 250 on both a couple of years ago. So making small progress there. Any questions on any of that? I know I kind of ran through
it. Good job.
We're getting traction. I mean, we get a lot of just general views of photos. Usually try to load a couple a month. A lot of customers will post pictures. Instagram's been really well as far as people sharing. So we'll keep moving on there. Like I said, as soon as we get the simulator going, I'm going to do more Instagram, Facebook ads for our simulators and our fall tournaments. So we'll get some traction. I haven't spent too much this year on tournaments just because I've had no problem filling them up. So I haven't felt like I need to spend any money to.
Yeah, you don't. You really tournaments. Don't have room for a lot of other tournaments, so
no
reason to advertise.
We're pretty
for
full.
Those.
Yeah.
The construction schedule. I'm not sure where to start. Other than we've made some good progress the last 30 days. They're doing finished trim work right now in the pro shop. They finished the simulators earlier this week. So we're kind of prepping for paint down there. The painters are supposed to be here today, but I'm hoping tomorrow. Show and tell audio is coming tomorrow to finish some audio and video stuff, and then ETS is coming probably tomorrow or Friday to finish the cameras and then the door key fobs. So by Saturday we should be rolling. I just want to make sure we can get that kind of more decorated, cleaned up next week, and have a fridge down there, water, and make sure kind of run through everything with a few different groups to make sure we're good there. Make some nice manuals for people that are coming in, how to turn stuff on, how to operate the system, and then some advertising.
Are you going to have any kind of a front desk after you come in the door for the simulators to, or you know, where you could have a staffer actually check people in?
We may do something more in the winter. Especially when we have
something more formal,
some more events. We've got a few planned. We've got a Chubbs Memorial Golf Tournament, Chubb Peterson. If you remember his character from Happy Gilmore?
Yeah.
So we're going to do an event there that we've got some tee prizes for. And then we'd like to do one other big one. And we'll do some just monthly, closest to the pin, long drive events. We've talked about kind of splitting up the weekends in the winter to get some daily use play rather than just memberships. So if a group of two guys don't have a membership, they can still be able to book a time and come in and play. It's really just going to be depending on scheduling, but I'm hoping we can.
So we'll have a tee time feature like we do for the course, for the
yeah.
simulators, right?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So we'll try to fill up as many times as we can. We may sell enough memberships where we don't need to worry about it.
Will the lowest time increment be 60 minutes?
Yeah, that's what I have right now.
No 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I think I've got 60 minutes for $30 for a daily use fee.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got time restrictions on there, so basically the time the pro shop is open. So.
And then do you plan on, cordoning off time for club fitting or lessons? That would be more important, I guess, in the winter when you have...
Yeah. So it's just it acts just the same as the T-sheet, so I can block off times so people can't book. We can block out events. So when people, members, and I should show, I don't think I can log in from here. Maybe I'll do it next month, just give you a review on how the back end works. But when someone books a reservation time, it acts just like booking a tee time at a golf course. It'll run you through what times are available. But membership specifically will have a login and a membership portal that will show them their simulator membership. So they'll have to have paid for the membership,
right,
to be able to book through that portal.
Do you plan on emphasizing lessons, whether it's a club fitting lesson or, I mean, you can even do a lesson playing a golf course with one of the professional staff or whatever,
yeah.
But is that a plan of emphasis for the winter?
Yeah. We've talked a lot about this once the building's done, is having a lot more professional material for lessons. So that's, you know, headshots, website material, availability. I know all three of those.
I think you'll be pleasantly surprised by the response,
yeah,
and by the revenue that it can generate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Yeah, so we're excited about it.
Especially with the younger generation. I mean, they love that. You know, they love to... Hey, I want a new driver. I want to get fitted for that driver. So can I come over in the simulator and hit,
yeah,
you know, four drivers? I want to hit the top four drivers and then choose from the four, and then I want to buy that driver from you.
Yeah.
Which is,
I asked the, I met with the Callaway rep today. I said, how soon can I get the newest stuff? And he said about a month before it's released, you'll get your demo,
mm-hmm,
equipment, and I'll hit up everybody. So as soon as we have dates and those are in, we'll start scheduling demo days for people to basically book a slot of
So
time.
You've had some success with demo days, haven't you, already?
A lot.
Yeah. That's
and
great.
I think we'll do even better with having it in the simulator.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're doing, you know, especially for the avid golfer that wants the newest, new, as soon as it's out, which is generally February or March. You know, we don't really start our demo days till May. So we're missing a little bit of the market there with who wants to buy equipment when it comes out.
Yeah.
But if we can get them in January, February, I think we'll have more club sales.
And you really have a captured audience all winter long,
too,
because your avid golfers who stay north here can't play anywhere,
right,
except indoors on a simulator. And so it's
I think it's going to fill up.
How about if they, you know, they come, they test out whatever the equipment is, they buy from you, you add an hour of simulation time as part of the package?
Yeah, I think we could do, there are a lot of things we talked about doing, dispersion charts for people. Roger there was came when the Michael Manning with TrackMan came, but I think there's a lot of stuff that we can upsell people on.
You can do a video lesson that where they can just access it online at their leisure.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, just so many possibilities, and it's
especially if you've got, you know, Eaglewood on it as well as maybe a couple of the other local courses as part of the simulation. Pebble Beach, of course.
Right. Eaglewood and Pebble Beach.
Right.
That's all you need. Those two, right there. No, there's a ton of good courses.
I did get word this week that our golf course is pretty close to being done for beta testing, so they should get that to me probably about 3 weeks, so we'll be able to play Eaglewood.
Oh, that'd be great.
And then it'll be probably a full rollout more towards October, end of October. But they want us to test it out, see if there's things need to change. So
good.
That kind of throws us into the next topic, which is more simulator. I have towards the end of August, 27th and 28th, earmarked for a couple staff members and myself to be available to do a little open house in simulator area. More the afternoon on the 27th, and then pretty much all afternoon, evening, both days. I'm not quite sure what treats or what incentive we can do to get people to come. I was kind of thinking desserts and pizza. It may just be it'll be hard for me to judge how many people actually come, so we may start with a few pizzas on the 27th and just see how it goes, and then gauge it from there on the 28th, which I'm okay spending a little money to try to incentivize people to come if they want some free food. So we'll have some printed materials for them to take, and then we'll sign them up. If they want a membership that day, we'll be able to sign them up that day. So
you could do a discount on that first time.
Yeah, we've talked about doing, you know, buy a year membership, get a month free type deal,
yeah,
which would be...
You know, you want to be a little bit careful, though, because this is something, you only have two bays, so I wouldn't discount it too heavily because it will sell out, you know, so, you know.
Yeah, well, and you could add, you could keep it open on the day once, 27th, you know, not due, but maybe the 28th, if it's a little bit slower, there's an opportunity, or add another drawing.
Yeah, so that was the other thing, is we can get people there, just, hey, want a free month, and come test it out, come take a look. And
yeah, there are a lot of things,
drawing.
I mean.
So we just need to finalize those, and I'll get some printed materials for them.
I'll donate some golf balls, you know.
There you
come
go.
And get your free golf balls.
including
the special simulator balls.
Yeah, I mean, I've got free passes for range passes we had left over from Liberty Fest, free rounds of golf, expire in October, so... We can do a lot of things to get people up there.
Good idea.
That's great.
We'll do basically a walkthrough on all the track pass system, how someone would use their membership, how they would get in the doors, basically a full walkthrough for people to know how it's used, how it's operated, the other, you know, little functions of it, the extra TVs, how they can watch movies, watch sports. We'll have some materials there for tournaments we're going to have, you know, our free closest to the pin contest we'll have each month, our long drive contest. So those that are members can sign up, play those for free. We'll do some prizes at the end of the month. What's nice is someone could play a golf course July 1st, and then someone could play the golf course on July 31st, just closest to the pin contest, and the system will track it for us. It'll create a leaderboard. So there's, you know, a lot of them I already have set up. It's just a matter of running the reports and standings, and, you know, I'll have their email information already in there. They'll be in the TrackMan system. So it'll be kind of neat to see how we can push more of these tournaments, not only in the winter, but regular season to see if we can get people to play. So.
And what do you think a membership would run?
We have 2,400 for a 12-month. And then 1,400 for 6 months.
Awesome.
And that's in the current fee schedule that was approved.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Then we have a punch card, which I'm not sure I kind of want to see how many memberships we sell before we do the punch cards.
May not need to activate the punch card.
So I'm kind of leaning towards more doing 6 month and 12 month memberships, and then just filling in with daily fee. I'd rather push someone to buy the 6 month membership if they want the punch card.
And what do you think the capacity of the service is for memberships? If you have, how many 12-month memberships do you think you could sell?
I'm hoping we can get 20.
Support.
20 to 25, at least from now until end of the year, and then maybe 10 or 15.
Without people complaining, they can't get in there.
So with two bays, let me give you an example. Private Fairways in Bountiful, they limit their memberships. And I want to say it's 45. They only have one bay. They're open 24 hours as well, so they let people book whenever. I don't see their back end, so I don't know what their capacity is and what they're actually filling up. But I think we'll have to limit it.
At those prices, I think you're going to have the expectation that people can get in there. Pretty easily.
So I think for the first couple. Maybe this year we limit how many we sell and see how many times are filled up. I call them tee times, but they're really just scheduled times available from 12 a.m. to 12 p.m. every day.
And I also think, just because I've been in that room a few times, I think you're going to get people who want to have a party on a Friday night with a bunch of people. And that's going to be a lot of revenue, too.
I think what I haven't...
You've got 8 or 10 people paying $30.
Yeah. What I really haven't scheduled out yet is how far do we let members book out times for? Is it a week? Is it 2 weeks? And how far out do we let parties book out for? And then how far out do we let daily use? Yeah, Ron.
Have you factored in the anticipated time it takes? I know on my simulator, you know, to play Pebble Beach with four people, if you set it up for like the either the gimme putts or the computer calculated putts, four people can play it in about probably 2.5 hours. So have you done it with the track system to see how long a round of golf would take and impacted that into your, you know, reservations? Because if somebody books an hour and wants to play Pebble Beach and say there's two people playing, they're going to be pressed. They can't do it in an hour. They could do it in a couple hours. But and then will you have a default on, because you can putt out or you can have it a two-putt or a computer generated. There's a lot of settings, but if you allow people to go into your settings and change all those, they may get frustrated that their time ran out and they didn't finish their round. Just a couple things I've noticed.
I think we'll have to, especially for the daily use, set the expectation of, okay, X amount of players, how many holes, and how long it takes. So if it's two players playing St. Andrews, it might take 2.5 hours. I think we'll just have to set those expectations for daily use. I'm not too worried about the membership group because I think that they'll get the hang of how many, and they can obviously book as many times as they need to. But I think we just need to calculate that for them. Right now I have 1 hour increments for booking, and we'll probably set a limit on how many hours in a row that a member can book, which I'm thinking probably 3, if even for a foursome.
Yeah, the other thing is you'll get a feel for, you know, if 75% of the use is people that just want to come hit for an hour and work on their game versus actually play a course. Maybe you have that information now from other courses that have simulators, but I would think that a lot of the use will be just people booking for an hour to come hit and work on their game.
That's a good observation, Ron. I know that a lot of simulators have a 2 hour minimum for playing a golf course. But if you're coming and just hitting balls, you know, one hour is plenty. And the other, to your other point, Ron, our TrackMan liaison did say that he would recommend you put it on no putts because it's hard to simulate putting very well anyway. You know, like
I totally agree, and it takes a lot of time. The computer generated really works good. All you have to do is hit the green, and it'll actually take your handicap and figure the percentage of time you would make that length putt on that green.
Never.
And I've had a few arguments with the computer but then it balances out because sometimes it'll give me a one putt that I know I couldn't have made, and it'll give me a three putt on one I thought I could have made. But it really speeds the game up, and I found that just people calling me wanting to come hit on mine, it's probably 75% of the use is wanting to just hit balls and 25 actually play a course.
And TrackMan I know will calculate that as far as what courses are played for us and what courses I know they track. I'll have to see if they track the training practice. I would assume that they do. So that type of information will be available to us.
Good.
And they may have a general, I haven't asked Michael Manning that, but he may have a worldwide or local number that he may be able to give me for what other courses and other simulator places are doing.
Yeah.
That's all. Anybody have any questions on simulators?
I just have a little observation. Do you think that the wall between the two simulators needs to be extended so that when they're both being operated simultaneously that they're not distracting the other one. That was the only thought that occurred to me after we hit balls the other day. And I don't have the answer, but it seemed like...
Yeah, we could look at putting just a curtain, a slide curtain up there.
Or something,
relatively inexpensive.
Because, like, if you were giving, especially if you were giving a lesson in either bay, and somebody was just goofing off in the other bay, I can see that it might really be a distraction.
Yeah, I think a slide track there with the curtain would be the best.
Yeah.
A heavy curtain there. That would diffuse sound and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Block views. It would go right between the TVs. May just have to look how we would mount it to the steel column there, but.
And then what about an actual snack bar? Miniature snack bar of some. You've got something in mind, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, so we have one Coke machine that I was going to put down there and just fill with waters. We may try snacks. It just depends on how quickly they go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all it takes is one high school kid to load up his bag with Chips Ahoy for us to not do it anymore. So.
No, you mean kind of leave it on the honor system?
Yeah,
that's...
But waters for sure. I think we'll have waters down there just as more of a convenience. But we've talked about a soda machine.
And when the restaurant's functional, that'll you can just go over to the restaurant and get whatever you want. But
is there room for vending machines?
There is, and I've only steered away from that because I don't want to cheapen the experience for people. I'd rather give them, you know, a 12-cent bottle of water than charge them. And then make 12 cents on a 24-ounce bottle. I don't know. I could go both ways, but I think if we have the cafe going and that's available, then there's opportunity for them to come or order food from downstairs and we bring it down to them. There's lots of options.
Yeah.
But I really want the simulator space, especially for those that pay money to feel like, you know, they're at Glen Wild and they get free bottles of water and...
Yeah, you're getting a good bang for your buck. Yeah.
Yeah, we may have to change how we're doing it. All of the members that we hopefully get may say, yeah, we would really like a vending machine downstairs. You know, they may ask and want that. So I think we'll just have to send some surveys out and evaluate and ask them what they'd like and what they don't and adjust accordingly.
Well, and you also need to consider, you know, somebody spilling a Coke on the mat, too. So, you know, how much food do you want down in the simulator room?
We'll probably have to put some signs up that say no food past, no food on the grass or no food on the turf or something like that to mitigate it a little bit. I mean, there will have some, but...
Keep it to the surrounding chairs and... Or couches or whatever, or the,
And we may have to get some more furniture in there to accommodate that too, but.
Okay.
Sounds like it's on track.
Mm-hmm. I know Roger's been through it, Ken's been down there. Anytime, if you want
to
come
like
take
to.
A look at it.
Okay, that'd be great.
John and I were thinking of Friday.
Yeah, so. If you want to come hit some Friday.
Yeah.
I can get you set up anytime after 8.
Great.
I have to book you a time. Maybe we could book you a time.
We were thinking 9 o'clock. Can you do that, John? Do you want to do that?
Yeah, 9 Friday would
be
good.
Let's do that. Okay.
There's 2 bays, so if anybody else would like to.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I only asked this question, I only put it on the agenda because I feel like I need to... If we need to change something, then I need to get some signage and materials going. I've had some internal discussion with some employees, names they like, but just wanted to see if anybody else had any initial thoughts on, you know, basically our Google profile or what we would call the grill area and the snack shack.
Do you just like the grill at Eaglewood or the Eaglewood Grill?
So that I tell you, I don't want to tarnish your ideas by giving you what my opinion would be, but if anybody had...
Well, let's say Eaglewood Cafe, Eaglewood Grill, or the Grill at Eaglewood, and I'd keep it as simple as possible.
I came up with a lot of ideas on this one and did a little search. Remember, if you will, I tried to rename North Salt Lake and nearly got assassinated, so. I don't know if you remember that, but. Anyway, I went, I like you did, I went and looked, and some names I've come up with, can I just go down my list?
Yeah.
Okay. I liked the albatross, the pin, P-I-N, Duffers, of course there's number 19, the bunker, this one I made up, top, bite, birdie's bunker, one under, the club, and one that I thought was cute was the green apron, instead of the green jacket.
I like well, those.
I had one thought to be a little bit on the younger end, even though I'm the older end. Eagle Eats.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Eagle Eats, yeah.
Eagle Eats.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I like that.
It gets the name of the course in there and it's food, you know. And,
yeah.
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 Okay.
Easy to say.
Yeah.
I'd keep it as simple as possible. I'd try to get Eaglewood in there if you can. Then you don't ever have to change it, no matter who the operator is.
Yeah, and that's so that my thoughts are more towards Rogers. We had, and I probably hear it more than anybody else, but everybody that comes in says, "Where's your grill? Or is your grill open? Or what? You know, what are you serving at the grill?" It's always the grill. Whether it's where's George's grill or where's the grill, it's always been the grill. So we thought just the grill or the grill at Eaglewood. Same thing you did.
There are a lot of 19th holes, and I mean you'd have trouble getting any copyright on that. I even have the 19th hole in my basement with a neon sign. So.
Well, we did. So I do have a LED sign that's going into the simulators that says the links at Eaglewood for the simulator. So that with the grill at Eaglewood would mm-hmm. kind of tie into that.
Yeah,
sign.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And get the same neon sign.
So since we're on the subject,
what happened?
Where does the restaurant stand?
Our counter offer went back to them today, so I think we're getting close to settling.
So they gave you a counter offer mm-hmm. to your original.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we're close.
I don't think.
Can you elaborate on that? A counter offer? Who gave you a counter offer?
So. We're talking about the settlement with George and Tanya Young.
Oh, sure.
So our latest offer went back to them today. I don't think we'll counter offer again. I think we're getting close to settling.
Okay.
So,
do you feel like the rest of the season is salvageable?
That's gonna be. It's going to be an adventure, I think, the next 2 months. I mean, we have September and October, really. Food-wise, I don't know what we can get done. Application for our beer license was due today. I submitted that yesterday. They review that, and then we have, from what I told, we'll have a conditional permit
yeah.
Till we have our business license, which I'm working on now still. Mm-hmm. One issue there is we need basically the pro shop and kitchen put back together for the fire inspection, which I'm hoping for on the 23rd. Once that's approved, I get the business license to the DABC, and we would be able to sell beer as of the 1st of September. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my plan there. I have a lot of applicants for beverage cart. I have one for a, what I call a line cook. Nothing for a cook manager, nothing else there for really any positions. So
you've advertised for a cook manager?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't done any interviews or anything because we've kind of waited on the settlement.
You don't want to put the cart before the horse.
We don't have a job offer to make. We don't have a job to offer right now.
So
what about the extension of the, if you want to call it the extension of the dining room, you know, where that false wall is there now? Is that?
It's probably end of September.
End of September, okay.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much a no-go.
Yeah, once the deck won't be done till then, and that's kind of the last thing to go in.
I mean, October can be a very nice month for golf, but still that's 1 month.
I had to create a menu for our alcohol license as part of what they evaluate on your food to beer sales. So mm-hmm. we kind of have a tentative, and I should have brought some and put it on here, but it's, and then maybe I'll email it to you guys tomorrow or Friday. But it's a pretty simple menu, but I think it covers a lot of golf, and we want to make it nice. My idea is, you know, this winter we have hopefully some employees lined up and set up for next year, or even if it's just our full-time staff, to have a professional chef just come in for a day and here's our menu, show us how to, the right way to make this, how you would do it to make it premium, and what good you would you use, and we kind of really figure out our food costs, and so we can be prepared for the spring if we do end up operating it as city in the golf course. So.
And I think, Tyler, isn't it, it's our intention to hire city employees to do it. We're not looking for another concessionaire.
Yeah, I don't know with golf courses if there's really a right or wrong way to do it. There's golf courses that do it themselves and they do it okay, but it's a, there's four sides to it. There's groups that have concessionaires and they're great. There's groups that have concessionaires and it's bad. There's groups that operate themselves and they do good. And then there's groups that operate themselves and don't make money. I think the majority of golf courses probably break even, but they, you know, I'm not in the break even mode. I want to make some money.
Yeah, you don't
want to
break even.
So we want to make some premium materials. We want to advertise. We want to get people, the public, not just necessarily golf, but people up there eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner throughout the week. I mean, we'll have some certain stuff. I want to do stuff on the patio with music nights and, you know, invite other food trucks up there to have kind of a roundup type deal and, you know, have more public events, especially in the evenings.
Now, there's a tremendous potential.
Yeah.
And you can use the, now that the simulators will be functional, you can use the winter maybe as a training ground, you know, bring some people in,
yeah.
You know, even if it's only 3 or 4 days a week or
afternoons
or whatever.
Or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or weekends, right?
Yeah. And it may be that, you know, off season we operate Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, and Sunday breakfast or something like that.
Yeah, or very
yeah.
or very short hours or,
yeah.
or whatever. Yeah.
So it'll be an evaluation. We'll just have to, I think we're gonna jump right in it and without a life jacket and see how it goes
mm-hmm.
and have to evaluate, but
you know, we've talked to Court a couple of times. I think Court's idea is if you get the right manager or a couple of managers who know what they're doing, then we'll
yeah.
have a better chance.
Yeah, that drives
of being
that
successful.
Drives the bus.
You know,
you
got to have people at the top that kind of understand the business and know what to do, how to find cooks.
Would your manager be a position with the city with benefits, or
we could do it that way? I think that would be my preference would be to hire a benefited manager over the concessions and to incentivize the wage in a similar way that we've done with Tyler so that there's so that they're in the water with us.
Yeah, that way you'll find somebody who's properly motivated.
Yeah, I think the upside could be really great for the right person.
Yeah, I agree.
And so, you know, I'm sorry, I haven't talked to you much about
this. No,
we've
talked about it a little bit.
But anyway, that's kind of where I think this thing could go.
Yeah.
But we've got to have the right person. That's the key.
But
or,
you're pretty much
persons.
Willing to, I mean, this golf season, you're pretty much willing to just say.
Well, it's just taken
yeah.
so long to get them out. And I think a month ago, Tyler and I talked about, you know, getting sandwiches delivered every day and getting a food truck up here, a couple of food trucks during the evenings. And, you know, we just don't have the right to do it right now. And I wish we had because we've lost another month. And it's just, they're being, I'll just be glad when it's over. They're being really slow.
Well, my experience is the benefits, especially health insurance, are key.
Yeah.
In my companies, I got the best employees because I offered that when nobody
right.
else did. And so and then an incentive on top of that.
Yeah.
So that they look at the costs as well as the sale, and you know, there are people out there who will take it. I mean, I think especially once it gets done, it's a nice new facility. I mean, everything's looking good. I mean, somebody will pop up, you know.
And it's a pretty good opportunity for the right person who can envision the upside, I think, and recognize that there is an upside in a brand new facility.
Someone who wants to put in the
who wants to put in the hours
really has an opportunity to excel.
I think there's a heavy upside to it.
Yeah,
so.
It really is, yeah.
And I think the seasonality of golf, you know, if we want to make this a, and I would say if not even a three-fourths time facility for as far as the grill operations, but really close to being every day, we need a full-time employee, whereas if we do a seasonal, there's just it's hard to retain them.
You're
going to
lose them every year, and then you have to start over.
Hard to attract.
If we put them on part time, then we're limited to 130 hours a month, and that's just not.
I think you could really work with a full time person, and that area up there where I live, a lot of us live. I mean, there's no restaurant close by. You know, Sunshine Cafe is good for breakfast, but you know, not good for dinner. So, you know, if you had a place where you could run and get a really nice chicken sandwich, or, you know, maybe even something a little bit more, I think you would eventually draw a local clientele that was pretty continuous.
And we'll be on DoorDash, we'll be on Uber Eats, we'll do all of those.
Well, especially the deck, you know, we haven't even talked about an eating area on the deck. So.
Can you be flexible in their hours so that they're working more hours, well, during season, and then off hours.
Yes, and I guess my first this I really haven't talked to Tyler about, but if they were an exempt management employee, then they just work as many hours as it takes.
Flux schedule.
Just like Tyler works as many hours as he has to, and the upside for them is the bonus. You know, the bonus pay.
Hopefully it balances out in the winter
so they work really hard all during
for
the season.
For 9 months. And then
maybe they're cutting down to weekends or evenings in the winter.
Well, and especially if you're only going to go, let's say, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the other 4 days could be the offset.
Absolutely.
And I think if we have, I mean, John mentioned the Sunshine Cafe, but if we have a really good product, even if we're limited on our days and hours, people will consider those times. Well, the grill Eaglewood's open today at Thursdays at 7, so we're ordering dinner from there.
And all you have to do is advertise and promote it, and people will try it, and if they like it, they'll try it again.
Right.
They'll come back.
Exactly.
So I mean,
we'll do some pre-sale stuff. Like I want to do. You know, maybe it's once a week or a couple times a month. We do a family food night that we'll have some pre-sale on, you know, a larger quantity of, okay, this feeds four for pickup or delivery, and do stuff like that.
That'd be great.
So, and it would obviously, if we get a professional in there that has some experience with it, we'll lean on them to be able to tell us what's good and what's not. I mean, I think that's our first step, is to really find someone.
Yeah, that manager is key. I mean, they can really drive it.
If you want a really good example of one that really works well, is up at Wasatch. Their food is good, but their employees are phenomenal. They're friendly. They're accommodating. They really act like they're happy to have you there. And it's amazing the difference that makes. Because I know when we play up there, we'll stay there and eat versus go to a local restaurant, and a lot of that is just the experience. So I think it's key to get a great manager and great employees that feel like they really want to make people feel welcome.
Yeah, that's a breakfast and lunch one. We go up before and eat after.
Yeah, and I think we just need to be competitive in our wages too. So you know, when I go down to Texas Roadhouse, there's obviously servers, but they have hostess down there that are always accommodating. Not just Texas Roadhouse, but that's just an example. But
we
need to find those type of people that are okay with the amount of pay we have, to be personable and helpful, and maybe not have we have a couple cooks and a couple hostess type people, checkout people that are really personable.
Yeah, if you get the right manager, yeah. I mean, they know how to.
If you get the right manager,
they probably even
the right
have
people.
Connections with people who will come work for them because they've worked for them before.
Yeah.
So the key is finding that person. And I would think even if you have to pay a little bit more, it's worth it because it'll pay off in the long run. I mean, if
yeah.
you have to constantly recruit cooks and so forth, but this person can do it, I mean, you know, that's worth the cost of doing all that. So
yeah.
I think there's just unlimited potential for that, you know, especially living in that area. And
excuse me, are you anticipating that the manager would be an at-will employee?
Yeah, I think Ken's thoughts are similar to mine, so being an at-will employee.
Okay. The other thing I was going to say, I'll bet there's, I don't know if it's UNLV, but there's hotel management schools, there's probably golf snack bar management departments within those schools that may give us some guidance on what the criteria are when we try to get applicants in.
Yeah, that's a good thought to check some of the hospitality management programs we've got
yeah.
to see.
Yeah.
In fact, UNLV is a very good one. They have both a professional golf management curriculum, and they have a hotel. And they're the closest one to Salt Lake City, obviously.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we can look at their job boards and see and make sure we're getting a broad audience for this position. If we do,
you could even bring in interns on those programs that would probably love to do it during the golf season.
Yeah, we want to find somebody hungry to do it. I think that's our
yeah.
number one item.
You just have to put in the time.
Yeah.
So without getting into any upsetting any legal maneuvering, what is holding up the thing with George and Tanya? Are they intentionally stretching this out?
I don't know the details on what they're thinking.
Okay.
I'm not having the city attorney and their attorney are the one Ben's communicating. I really have stayed out of it as much as I can. I told them the recommendations on what equipment that we should buy from them and kind of left it to Todd Godfrey and their group.
But the city already owns the majority of the equipment, right?
Yeah, which I think I had some forethought there in thinking that the city should own the equipment rather than the concessionaire, because if there is turnover, then you're relying
right.
on the next concessionaire
right.
to have
right.
equipment. And it can be expensive and hard to move and hard to bring in. And we're
seeing it. When we noticed at this meeting, did we notice a potential for a closed meeting?
I don't think so. Yeah. No.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything that...
Well, I mean, Ken said the counter offer went back, so if they accept the counter offer, is there a time then?
Yes. On the first offer, I know that there was a timeline for them to remove their equipment. I'm sure that timeline is the same on this.
So like 30 days or so?
No, it was less than that.
Okay.
Yeah. But as soon as it's signed, that gives us the availability to sell our own drinks, snacks. If you've seen my office, it's full and ready. So as soon as I get the go-ahead, we'll be more accommodating to customers. It's maybe the nicest way to put it.
Yeah,
well, I mean, right. there's no reason for us to try to disrupt any negotiations or anything. So.
No. I would.
No, the thing that we could all do is, especially like you, reach out and see, you know, if there's an avenue to some kind of a manager. I mean,
yeah.
through all the golf courses or whatever, you know, not that you want to steal somebody from someplace else, but somebody there might know somebody who,
would be looking interested.
Yeah. I mean, it's the network, you know, we're just not in that network. And
yeah.
until you get somebody
well,
who's
I
in
know,
it.
I know the golf cafe manager up at Promontory. She might be interested in it because she doesn't like to drive all the way up to Promontory every day.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's always worth an ask. And if not,
yeah.
often they know somebody else who's looking,
right,
know, or
right.
a friend who
yeah.
is someplace else and they're unhappy and, you know, even would be willing to relocate.
Yeah.
So All right. I mean, I think
next,
we're...
Next item.
Yeah, next item.
Golf carts.
I think we've come to the point where it says adjourn, so unless there's any other new business
what about golf carts?
Oh, yeah, golf carts. That's a good question.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist, Tyler.
A week and a half ago that they were, well, let's say a week ago, that they would be shipped out in the next 2 weeks. So they've got one more week to ship these out.
And you say shipping them from Yamaha, not... So Highland doesn't have the carts.
No.
Even though they were supposed to have them in April. But, you know,
no, mine... July 1st. Mm-hmm. It's July 1st.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they told me that they would be in their yard April.
Yeah.
And that they would get them ready for delivery in July. So I'm frustrated with it. They're frustrated with it.
And what's the official reason?
Chip shortage.
Yeah. I don't have a good one. Well, last time I spoke to
them, they ran out of wheels.
July or August, been the first week of August, they were in the final step of the plant.
So final production stage?
Final production stage. So they've got to be close. I'm not calling the plant. I'm not checking on what they're telling me. I'm trusting that they're telling me what there it is. But part of me is... I'm not holding my breath on having them ship in the next week from just about everything that's gone on this year. So.
Well, we're still getting the same trade-in value, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. We're just getting a little more use out of the old cart. So.
Yeah.
And the building looks good. You know, the outside that they've been able to do so far and the roof.
Is the cart barn downstairs ready for the new carts?
Nope.
Yeah, I didn't think so. So in a way, it might be a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes being delayed is a good thing.
Right now, if we got them, we would have to park a few outside, which I don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. If you don't have to.
So
we're in the tunnel.
Yeah.
Well, folks, I'm going to say goodbye. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Bye, Lisa.
Okay, Lisa, take care now.
Okay. All right. Unless there's anything else, motion for adjournment?
All motion for adjournment.
Okay. I second it.
Third it, Ron.
Both in favor, say
aye. Bye, Ron.
Bye, Ron. Good
take
luck
it
with
easy.
That. Yeah, take
bye.
It
easy. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks,
okay.
Ron.
Right.
Bye-bye. Okay.
Well, it's been an interesting educational summer.